on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Anatole Levin, my colleague, Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, looking again at Ukraine conflict. From the point of view of material coming in from the Wall Street Journal in these last hours that I had not seen before, and I've expressed my amazement to Anatole, and I pass on, there's presentation on the Wall Street Journal site, the daily package of news, announced very gingerly by a professional, of children in Ukraine being trained on drones as young as primary school, but certainly in high school. And there's a young woman speaking Ukrainian with translation saying, it's good for the boys because they have to get ready for the battlefield to train on drones. In a classroom, the teacher, who is described as a combat veteran, flies the drones through a series of what you'd have to say is obstacle courses, and the children are learning this. And she says, and it's good for the girls because we have to know what's coming at us when we take our positions in the cities. That's a Ukrainian teenager announcing what looks to be the militarization of school. And what I was especially struck by is that they showed the children on each up with a laptop flying their drones as if it was a first-person shooters game, the kind of thing that's been popular, at least my son played in junior high school and high school obsessively. Now he's taken those digital skills and applied them to where we are in our economy. He's not flying killer drones, or he's not worried about a battlefield. That is the Ukrainian plight. I don't know how widespread it is in Europe, but it certainly appears that Russia also is indulging itself in training children to fly drones to kill people. Anatole, I mention all of that because I've been naive to think that when you militarize a culture, it stops somewhere. It continues indefinitely. Some aspect of those drone flying resembles that movie Terminator and a thing called Skynet, which is an invention of Philip K. Dick, the famous science fiction writer of the 1950s. However, the fact that it's going on at all suggests that the war is now becoming institutionalized, not only in Ukraine, in the rest of Europe. Is that how to regard this? No longer are people upset about learning that children are being taught to kill with machines.
Well, yes. I mean, this, of course, is a fascinating aspect of the Ukraine war. That on the one hand, you have this very new technology, I mean, new in historical terms, with radical effects on how war is conducted and on the battlefield. But on the other, you have a reversion to something which, you know, not very long ago was extremely common in Europe, at least, and in the former Soviet Union, which was precisely preparing children, boys, but sometimes girls as well, for war. You know, my school in Britain had an officer's training, preliminary officer's training course. Russian high school children were taught how to shoot and also how to, you know, assemble and reassemble rifles and machine guns. All of this, of course, came out of the First and the Second World Wars when you had to conscript millions upon millions of people, and it was a very good idea to have them, you know, basically trained before, you know, actually joining formal military training. But now, of course, since this is to a very great extent, a drone war, and drones are absolutely critical. And of course, military drones. None of this started, as far as I know, with the military. Long before, well, not long before, but certainly some time before the military started or militaries started adopting drones. You know, you could see kids playing with drones in, you know, in parks, and you know, directing them with you know, with handheld devices. And so, yes, I mean, this is a fascinating combination of the old and the new, but. You know, indeed, in Ukraine at least, and Russia, pointing towards the remilitarization of society. What, of course, makes it different is that you know, the school military training in the past, I mean, obviously it didn't involve killing people, but I mean, it was made clear that you were learning to shoot in order to kill somebody in front of you, and also you had to slog, you know, with a pack and a rifle on your back, you know, through muddy fields and hide in ditches and so forth. Now, of course, you sit, you know, in your classroom, or for that matter, in your own bedroom, and all this feels very, very safe and clean and bloodless. Which is sinister because, of course, as various people have pointed out, it can, in a way, make war psychologically easier. You know, people who think that they can do all this from a safe distance and that it doesn't involve getting your hands bloody may be more inclined to support going to war, although, I mean, they could well be mistaken there, because actually, you know, in the front line, the Ukrainian and Russian drone operators, you know, are actually in great danger from, you know, bombs and missiles on the other side, who are precisely trying to target them. But, yeah, I mean, the notion of bloodless war is a pretty worrying one.
More innovation in this battlefield of Ukraine. I learned from my correspondents that Russia's experimenting with a new weapon. It's an old weapon made new again. Bombs, 250-kilogram, 500-kilogram bombs that are fitted with a jetpack or not, or propellers. It's a matter of speed. And released from well out into the Black Sea, up to 150 kilometers, glide bombs that then target infrastructure never reached before by either artillery, or it is no longer possible to fly over Ukraine because of the air defenses if you're in a manned aircraft. But these bombs are said to be an innovation that Russia is experimenting with, because it has all these gravity bombs dropped out of airplanes and is fitting them in a way that we would call smart bombs. That's one piece of the story, but they're targeting energy nodes. The Wall Street Journal has a piece today saying Ukraine is finding success in targeting Russian energy nodes or factories that make gunpowder. Or if the Tomahawks are actually transferred into Kyiv's hands, they can target the factory that makes the drones outside of Moscow, and they name it. These all have GPS. And in the middle of this paragraph I sent to you, we talked about it, said the U.S. is contributing intelligence for targeting. We're in the war, Anatole. There's no pretending. Because American troops aren't standing there flying drones against Russian tanks, we're not participating. Without the targeting of the U.S. satellites and drones, Kyiv would be shooting blind. And this strikes me as something the American people have not been told or been made to understand, that Russia's defending itself from American power.
Well, that's precisely it. And this is what, of course, the hardliners in Russia say again and again. You know, America is basically targeting us, or the West is targeting us. We have to target them. Now, Putin has so far, you know, resisted that because, of course, for Russia directly to target the West in return would be hideously dangerous, and would certainly lead to radical escalation. But the hardliners, of course, in Russia say, well, but this is a way of terrifying the West into actually you know, forcing the Ukrainians to make peace on our terms, an extremely dangerous argument, which, as I say, Putin has so far resisted. I was told, though, that in Russia, by the vast majority of people I talked to, that if the West were to begin the escalation, you know, by shooting down Russian aircraft that entered NATO airspace or by seizing Russian cargoes on the high seas, then Putin would have to retaliate directly and immediately, precisely because a lot of people in Russia feel that, you know, they've had enough from this point of view. There is, though, one perhaps more positive aspect about this, which is that, you know, if the US and Russia could come to a reasonable deal, the fact that the US is so critically involved in helping the Ukrainians, or just helping, enabling, as you say, the Ukrainians couldn't actually hit these targets without America. That does also give the United States the ability to, you know, put great pressure on Ukraine to make a deal. But of course, first you have to negotiate the deal, which we haven't managed to do yet.
I'm speaking to Anatole Levin about the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. We're talking about how the war in Ukraine, the organic term of metaphor would be metastasizing, is taking in children, very young children, and teaching them to kill people is not unlike a first-person shooter game that you got for Christmas. The second part is that Russia continues to innovate standoff weapons, but none of this would be happening whatsoever, and Kyiv would have been overrun a long time ago, but for the American assistance. Are we in the war? When we come back, rather than demonizing Putin only, what else could the war be demonstrating about the 21st century? Anatole Levin, I'm John Batchelor.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.